your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station.
You're listening to Family Solutions Today with Dori Francis, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and good afternoon. This is Dori Francis, your host of Family Solutions Today, right here on LA Talk Radio, and I'm coming to you from Bend, Oregon. I have a great guest today, and before we get started, I just want to remind everybody two announcements. Number one, you can now listen to LA Talk Radio on your iPhone. There is a free app that you can download for LA Talk Radio, and that way you can listen wherever you happen to be, which is just great for those that are on the go. Also, you can now download any of our talk radio shows on iTunes. They are all archived there, and you can listen to them, forward them on to somebody else, and just enjoy finding your favorite shows or scanning through and seeing shows that you might have missed and wanting to hear. So please, again, those are on iTunes, and I look forward to getting some feedback on how you like both of these new ways of listening to the show. Today, I am very happy to say that we have Dr. Andy Sapp, who is the founder of Cherry Gulch School for Boys in Idaho, with us. Andy's been with us before and is always requested to come back, which is great. I enjoy having him on the show as well. Today, Andy's going to be talking about Cherry Gulch and their model of change for boys. And for those who would like to call in during the show, the number is 323-203-0815. Cherry Gulch is an innovative and award-winning ranch-style therapeutic boarding school for 10 to 14-year-old boys. And Dr. Sapp has extensive experience working with children and adolescents, as well as in the fields of mental health and psychology. I'm going to get started with the show. We have lots of information about Dr. Sapp, but I will tell you, in my past experience, we always run out of time before we get through everything that we want to talk about, and I really want to enjoy today's live interview. Again, the number to call in is 323-203-0815. We'll make sure that you get information to the Cherry Gulch website, where you can read about all of the staff and learn more about the program. Dr. Sapp says his greatest accomplishment has been starting Cherry Gulch and serving the many students and families that have benefited from this award-winning and life-changing program. And I can tell you from the student that I have been there, it has been life-changing for him. And he's getting ready to move on to a boarding school and is quite excited about that. So, Dr. Sapp, thank you again for being here today. Welcome and good afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me back, Dori. It's always a pleasure.
Well, I just so enjoy having you on the show. And I know that as we're speaking, you can let our guests know a little bit more about your background. But I think that I want to spend most of the time really talking about Cherry Gulch today and the model of change that you have for the boys there. So why don't you start off and let our listeners know a little bit about Cherry Gulch School?
Okay, well, you kind of did that for me, and I thank you very much for that story. but I do want to say I'd love to. It's such a pleasure to be able to focus on Cherry Gulch, because this has been a dream of mine come true, and it's Cherry Gulch is basically my baby. It's something that I'm really passionate about, and it's been a fun, rewarding experience, and it's been so wonderful to see the great success that we've had, and these boys coming into confident, fine young men, and the progress that they're making, and it's been wonderful to hear back from them and to be able to keep track of that progress. And So that's basically our mission with Cherry Gulch. Is we specialize in working with the younger boys, the middle school kind of age range. So the average age is about 13 to 13 and a half, and it's a really outstanding time to intervene in their lives. But it also takes a little slightly different approach, a creative, experiential type of an approach where they're getting involved with their hands and their hearts and everything, rather than just kind of a armchair type therapy that you might do in most clinics or outpatient settings.
Well, I have to say that although I've spoken a little bit about Cherry Gulch, and I hope really that one day we can have you on the show and you can talk about your journey, your personal journey of how this all came to be, because I find that to be a fascinating story, and it really does tell about your passion for what you're doing. Maybe you could give parents a little bit of an idea of the type of setting that Cherry Gulch is in.
Yeah, that would be great. I'd love to talk more about that. Also, I had a little hard time hearing you right then, but I think you were asking about the boys and the families that we work with. And they're wonderful. They're if you went visit our school, which you have, you see they really kind of present like boys that you'd find at any boarding school. They're great boys with bright futures and a ton of potential. They've got so many talents and gifts, and yet some of them have been through trauma or have depression or have oppositional tendencies or anger management issues or very anxious or some learning differences or some kind of quirkiness socially. But yet these things and the trials and troubles they've been through have really helped them become, I think, more empathic in a lot of ways and more compassionate with others. And so it's fun to see those boys trying to help each other as well. And that's something I'll talk a bit about in our positive peer leadership program that we do. But in the families that choose us, they choose us because they believe we're the best place in the world for their son, and they want that, and they know that they have work to do as well. And together, we work to get the students back home, and that's our goal.
Yes, that family reunification is absolutely one of the most important aspects of what you do. And you've had outstanding results with the boys you work with at Cherry Gulch. And I'd love to hear more about the model of change that you use.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we were developing Cherry Gulch, we researched psychology and psychiatry and developmental psychology and education and all these different fields to try to find research and to take that and pull it into a cohesive kind of unit that would be most effective for the students that we work with. And so that's been something that we've just sort of developed from scratch. And it's really not, original in some ways, in that we're pulling from things that have been shown that work. We also create some of our own interventions and are creative and things as well. But the overarching kind of model of change is just relationship building, building a relationship with these boys and helping them to build relationships with each other and with our staff. And through that relationship, we can start to get to the deeper issues and help them grow and mature and kind of shape them in a positive way to becoming that fine young man that we all hope that they'll become, that they certainly have the potential to become. The next piece is the therapy that we do. And so we'll get into that in a minute. And then after that is this positive peer leadership program. And then the milieu, which is the environment, and then the academics and the family components, and this underlying structure of this kind of positive behavioral modification type program where the students have tangible rewards and they're getting kind of real-time encouragement and things as well as having to hold the line and make sure that we help them steer away from kind of those bad habits. And so the simplest way of looking at us is replacing bad habits with good habits or healthy habits, and that kind of theme permeates throughout the program.
And one of the aspects of the program that I really like is that Cherry Gulch is a ranch setting type of school and program. And I know for the young man that I have there, he really enjoys being around the animals that you have.
Absolutely. And some of the things that I'm talking about kind of, they cut across the layers of this model of change that I'm talking about, because certainly the animals are an important part of the therapeutic program, but even the chores and the work ethic and then just caring for another living being can be so healing, and forming an attachment with an animal, and then sometimes that can help more easily translate to the other caregivers of the animal, the staff that are out there working with those students. And so, and then just coping skills. The animals can be a really soothing way for students to cope with their emotions. If you're upset and one of the dogs comes up and licks you, it's hard to kind of stay upset when you've got this dog that's wagging its tail and licking. And or as you're upset and you're grooming a horse, you know, it's just kind of a calming, soothing thing. And so, yeah, the animals in that ranch-style setting can really simplify things and help us focus on what's important, and at the same time giving lots of space to roam around. And as you know, the views from the school are amazing, and just it's a very peaceful setting. And the buildings remind me of kind of what you'd think of like a Montana ski resort type place, where
absolutely
nice looking buildings set off in the country, but yet we're close enough to Boise that we're able to enjoy the more cosmopolitan activities, the museums and things in the Boise area, which has been a really nice balance.
Well, I do want to talk about the therapeutics and the academics and the how all of these things are interconnected with your model of change. But let's start with more detail on the therapeutic services that you provide.
So we offer approximately 10 to 14 hours of therapy each week with a licensed master's or doctorate level clinician. And so that includes individual therapy, both scheduled, but also kind of as a therapeutic moment arises. So, you know, sometimes that might be, say, in a week, it might be 5 minutes here and a half an hour there and 15 minutes over here and another 10 minutes over there. And so if something happens in the milieu or in the environment at the school, and the staff can write into the therapist that's on campus and say, hey, you know, Johnny's having a really hard time right now, could you come talk with him? And then that's so much more powerful, because the therapist can observe and see what's going on and work with that student and the student they're having a conflict with, or whatever the situation is, right in the moment, rather than having to hear about it secondhand a week later and then bring it up when the student, you know, thinks it's resolved and they don't want to talk about it anymore. So that individual therapy piece is really important. But even more important than that is our different group therapies that we do. And the research does show that for this age group, the group therapy is even more powerful than the individual therapy. And part of that is because of the feedback with the other students, but also they have to learn to work together to overcome a superordinate goal to accomplish something they can't do alone. And so that takes a lot of teamwork. But it also takes communication, it takes patience, and some of those activities will be really frustrating, and we'll kind of see these kids get upset and storm off, and we can work with them on some of the things we've been doing individually in that group setting. Other times, you know, they'll work together and they'll accomplish the task and celebrate, and that kind of bonds the group even more. So an example of one of the experiential groups is the equine-assisted psychotherapy, and I know you've had people on your show talk about that, and it's a really great intervention. It's a really great piece of kind of the therapeutic puzzle that we put together here at Cherry Gulch. And, you know, it doesn't feel like therapy necessarily, where you're working with this horse, so the boys are interested in the horse, but yet we can't bully the horse either, because the horse is 1,500 pounds and
right,
you're 100 pounds. So for some of the oppositional kids, that can bring out some interesting things. But also with that anxiety, you know, you're with this big horse. But then for others that are really interested in horses and are confident in working with them, it's still challenging because, for instance, you have to all work together to get this horse to jump over a barrel, and then you talk about, say, that barrel represented anger, and then you talk about you know, what was some anger that you have in your life, or you know, how is this activity for you? So it becomes an icebreaker, as well as the horses being really good at identifying your emotions. They just are really in tune that way. So if you're really anxious or you're really angry, the horses are going to feel that tension. Just like if you or I walked into a room where there's a bunch of fighting going on, maybe it had stopped before we got there, but you can still feel it. The horses can kind of sense that. So that can help the students to learn to use some of those coping skills to calm themselves before they go out with the horses. So it's just a great kind of experiential way of the boys learning and then relating that to their life. Another therapeutic group we do weekly with a licensed clinician is our therapeutic games and initiatives. And so there's thousands of them, and they're all fun and interesting. And it makes the boys like therapy a little bit more, because it's not just a boring group. We're out, you know, doing something active. And an example of that would be the spider web, where you crisscross ropes between two trees, and then the whole group has to lift each other through this kind of webbing without touching it. Otherwise, that piece closes up, and you know, you've got to work together. You can't just do it alone. You have to have someone help get each other through there. So that's a really good team building. And if tempers start to flare or something, we can stop and we can kind of help the kids work that out, and then start again, or calm down and then start again. And then it's really good because you have the students that have been there longer who are kind of starting to mentor some of the newer students, and they're showing that it's okay to be vulnerable, to express the things that you're dealing with and what's happened in your life and what you're still working on. And as they see that these other students are able to be open and honest and appropriately express their thoughts and feelings, that kind of paves the way that, oh, this is acceptable here, this is a safe thing to do here, and this is, you know, this, I should probably do that too, because these other guys are putting themselves out there. So then they're helping each other. And although we start off talking about this spider web, but then we can get into what are some things that entangled you in your life. And it might be, well, I have conflict with my family, or I have anger issues, or whatever it is that student is struggling with, depression or you know, peer conflict, and they can start talking about that and tie it back into the family, and it doesn't even really feel like we're prying, because we're not. They're just kind of, we're using that as a tool to naturally get these things to start to come out. So those are just wonderful, wonderful therapeutic activities. And then we have what we call a family meeting, which that's the whole kind of school, basically. We don't have a lot of students. We have about 31 right now, and we can go up to 40, but we average around 31, 32, that kind of size that we are. And so we talk about things, and they can resolve grievances and problem solve and work through issues. Maybe someone smeared toothpaste on that student's pillow, then they can say, you know, that really wasn't cool. That hurt my feelings. You know, I don't like toothpaste on my pillow. And then the other kids can, you know, kind of support that student and say, yeah, that's not okay. And so they're working together to exhibit some positive peer influence in that way, and positive peer pressure. And we have some community meetings that are similar, in that the students are giving and receiving feedback. So they'll say three things about a student that he's doing really well and three things that they need to keep working on, and then vote as just to give their opinion on whether that student's ready for the next level. And so those peer groups like that can be really great for the students to start hearing kind of someone else calling them on their behavior, rather than their parents or some other authority figure that they already have conflict with. Another aspect of it is the family therapy. So each week the therapist and the parents talk for about an hour, and oftentimes the student, the boy, is in on that call as well, doing some family therapy. Another piece of the family therapy component is every quarter we do a 3-day family workshop. There's a lot of bonding exercises and building positive memories. And so the family is doing these experiential activities, like I just mentioned, the students do together. And so we're able to observe and see how well they're working together. We might be doing a horse activity, one's called the brain, and maybe the boy thinks that he runs the household and is in charge of everything. And in this brain activity, there's, say, you know, one person is a brain and one person is the left arm and one person is the right arm, and they have to work that way to saddle a horse. And So I wouldn't put the student as the brain because he already thinks that he's the brain and he knows more than his parents do. So,
that's a good learning opportunity.
Yeah, so you can see how these things could be fun, but they could also be really frustrating. That helps us gauge, you know, when the student's getting closer to being ready to move on and return back home for good. Another important aspect of our therapeutic team is these specialized psychology classes, and so it might be on coping skills or identity development and things like that. Another part of the therapeutic team is our board-certified psychiatrist, so he'll come up to campus and meet with students and things. We now have a half-time occupational therapist on site as well, so some of the students that have sensory overload issues and things will meet with her, and she'll basically teach them, fill their coping toolbox with different skills like a pressure vest and weighted blankets and things like that for the sensory overload. They'll hop on pogo sticks, hippity hops we call them, or build 3D puzzles, which will help with the fine motor movements. And so those things can be really good for just learning how to help calm a student that has this sensory overload issue. Let's see.
And I do want to remind our listeners again, you're listening to Dr. Andy Sapp, founder of Cherry Gulch School for Boys. And today we're talking about their model of change for boys at Cherry Gulch, and they're located in Idaho. If you'd like to call in, you can call 323-203-0815. We'd love to hear from you. Go ahead, Dr. Sapp.
Okay, great. So I tell people about Cherry Gulch so often, sometimes I forget what I've told them and what I haven't. let me continue on. Another aspect of the therapeutic program, we now offer three tracks, and so that's in addition to the other therapy that students get, but we have a specialty track in anger management, a specialty track in adoption, and a specialty track in social skills. Typically about 40% of our students are adopted, and so that's a really good kind of track to help those students work with those issues. And then with the social skills group, just, you know, most of us, we just, it's like learning to walk. You just kind of do it naturally or talk, but with some of the boys, they have a harder time with that, so we have to break it down into small pieces and give them the opportunity to practice and role play and things, and so that can be a really important part. And then we don't necessarily talk about this with our students, but we've just recently started putting our students in their sleeping quarters or in two different places. So the lodge has more of what we call the I won'ts or the ferrets. They're kids that are a little bit more oppositional and angry and things like that, but they're very capable. You know, you need to hold the line and be firm, and, you know, they'll start to do the right thing and fall in line, whereas the others, they need more patience and support and role modeling and encouragement and teaching and mentoring and coaching and things. And so those are the students in the bunkhouse that we call our bunnies or the I can'ts. And although that's a misnomer because these are kind of rabid bunnies, they're harder to deal with than the oppositional kids, just because, you know, the oppositional kids can more often choose, okay, I'm going to do the right thing and do it, whereas these kids with the social issues and things, it's a little bit harder for them, and they need more help and encouragement and kind of guidance, kind of hand-holding along the way. So we work with them slightly differently, but they're mixed into the same therapy groups other than, like, the social skills groups and things. And that just helps us to provide more individualized treatment for different groups of students that we work with.
And do you find that having all boys at this age then is really beneficial in this type of therapeutic work that they're doing?
I think it's really important, at least for a period of time. I don't necessarily advocate single gender education for their whole time, and they do have opportunities to interact with girls. We do cotillion classes and things, and at the end of those classes, they'll go to a country club for a 4 or 5 course meal with a group of girls from a neighboring town that are also in cotillion, and, you know, so there's things like that. But I just find that the boys Even though girls are typically more open about their feelings than boys are, a lot of times when there's girls' presence, then boys are more wallflowers. They're kind of school for school. They don't want to participate in that. And a little example, we do these things with these rack chips, random acts of kindness, to kind of encourage the students to be altruistic and pro-social and nice to each other and things. And I took them out to a movie because at certain levels they earn the privilege of a movie. And so one of the boys, it was Evan Almighty, and he was talking about the Ark and how God was saying you have to do acts of random kindness. It was just a comedy. But the boys turned around and was like, Dr. Sapp, you are so close. Random acts of kindness. And so, but then they were like, well, you know, why couldn't we have sat with the girls? I said, I didn't say you couldn't sit with them. You just said you had to sit together. And then afterwards they were like, well, can we talk to the girls? I was like, well, let me get the receipt. And then, yeah, you can talk to the girls. Well, can we ask for their digits, which, you know, is their phone number? And it's like, yeah, that'd be okay. Just wait till I'm ready here. And then, so we go out and now they have my full blessing. They can talk to the girls, and there's girls everywhere. And I look around, where are the boys? And they were running to my car. They start to mature as they've been in the school for a while, but
absolutely,
they talk a little bit with more bravado than they really have there. And they're just cute, nice boys. They're really sweet, sweet boys.
They're
wonderful.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the academics that you offer. I know that the student that I have there has just been incredibly excited about building his rocket ship. And you've done some other great academic projects while you've been there. And I was hoping you could share with our listeners a little bit about that today as well.
Yeah, definitely. And so how the therapeutics and academics kind of interrelate are in several ways, but like with our therapeutic team, we have 5 licensed master's and doctorate level clinicians on site full time, and then myself, I'm a licensed clinical psychologist. And with the academic team, we've got 5 certified teachers. There's one teacher with dual master's degrees and endorsement, and then each of the teachers will teach in their specialty area. So in our science classroom right now, we've got bullfrogs and bullfrog tadpoles and salamanders and salamander tadpoles and a bull snake and praying mantis and little shiny beetles and, you know, things like that that the boys are interested in. So there's a lot of hands-on pieces to the school. The history teacher, he did a semester about Yellowstone and about the early trappers and explorers, and then nine of the boys went with 2 teachers and a staff member to Yellowstone for a week to explore this area they had been studying about. And the science teacher, actually, I think as we speak, they're off up in the Sawtooth Mountains doing an outdoor school. We have built sheds with our math class, and we've been state champions in the novice division for chess in 2008, 2009, and 2010. And we are members of Team America Rocketry Challenge, where they build rockets and compete in a competition, and First Lego Robotics League, where you build robots out of Legos and have to program them to complete a mission. And so there's lots of interesting hands-on things. And it's not all like that. There's small class sizes. There's lots of breaks. The teachers are involved in the treatment team meetings and things. And so they're a part of the therapeutic team, and the therapists are a part of the academic team. And another way that they kind of overlap some is through the emotional growth curriculum that we use, where there's a level system and they learn about different things, and they're reading and writing essays and things like that to move up and work on some of the therapeutic issues. And so sometimes the teachers will assign therapeutic books for a student to read and then write a book report on, knowing that the student is working on this issue, because the teachers and the therapists have a team that they work together on helping the different students in the school. But that just helps to have a school for boys where it's designed for them, and they get lots of room to use their hands and their minds and to dream big and write about things that interest them, and lots of breaks as well. They've banded migratory birds and counted endangered squirrels and lots of different things, observatories and science centers. I mean, not all of them are successful. When they went out to encounter endangered squirrels, we sent the whole school, and they didn't see any squirrels. That's why they're endangered.
Well, I have about 24 in my backyard.
So. Maybe we should go to your house and count
those.
That's
right. You could come do a squirrel study here. I do have an email from a parent asking if you had ever worked in a wilderness program. She had a child in a wilderness program and thinks you might have been her child's therapist there. And I will say yes, Dr. Sapp was a field supervisor and therapist at a therapeutic wilderness program for students ages 11 to 13. And at that time, that was the only program of its kind in the country. So yes, this is the same Dr. Andy Sapp, and it would be great to hear from anyone who would like to call in, talk about either their experience with Cherry Gulch or ask some questions. And the number to call in is 323-203-0815. So
that's wonderful. I always love to hear how the students are doing, and there's a lot of them that I've touched with, so it's exciting to, you know, see, you know, how the students that you've worked with are doing, because especially at Cherry Gulch, we really do become a family. It's just I get to work with the students for so long and go on trips and, you know, whitewater rafting and snowboarding and all kinds of fun things, and so you just really develop this bond that's unique and wonderful, and I feel a part of the family, and the students kind of feel as though Cherry Gulch is a family. And we actually recently had an alumni get together up at the school. This was only about 2 weeks ago, so I got to see quite a few of the students and hear the success stories, and it was really wonderful.
I bet that was great for the boys that are there to meet and spend some time with some of your alumni students as well, and just to be able to see that life does continue on and that you get more opportunities as you go. But, you know, they learn so much when they're with you. And I wanted you to talk a little bit, Andy, about the environment of the school and actually how that contributes to the positive outcomes that your students achieve.
So with a really part of that environment of the milieu is our direct care staff. We've got a lot of staff at Cherry Gulch. There's, like I said, we have about 31 students right now and like 50 employees, 50 people working together to benefit these students, and they're all passionate about what they do and care about the kids. And so the direct care staff are kind of the front line on that, and they're an extension of the therapeutic arm and the academic arm, and that they know the specific kind of treatment plan for each of the students and what the therapist is hoping that they'll work on. And so they're kind of helping to shape the students in a positive direction as students having a outburst or a conflict or whatever it may be, to be able to help that student, remind them of some of their coping skills to help calm them down, but also help hold them accountable. And so that's a really important part. Another part of that milieu is the other students, that positive peer, or positive peer leadership program that I was talking with you about. And so the student council is part of that, this club where students mentor other students is part of that. The rat chips are even part of that, because we're kind of encouraging the students to be nice and be respectful to each other and be helpful to each other and be asking themselves, is this helpful or is this hurtful? And I want to help everybody. I want to help lift each other up and encourage them, and helping them to see how when they do that, they actually are more liked and more respected than when they're being bullies or being mean or being negative. And so that piece with the peers is another important part. And then another aspect of it is that we're a 24/7 learning environment. Of course, we sleep, and that's obviously essential. If you've ever been around a bunch of teenagers that haven't had any sleep for a long time, it can be rough. I can't underestimate sleep even for myself. But the rest of the time, you know, the students are engaged in kind of planned and purposeful activities, and So sometimes we'll have like a movie night, and it might be just a comedy or something fun, which there's certainly a lot of benefit in fun. But most of the time, it's has a therapeutic or kind of inspirational message or something like that. And we don't do those types of things very often because we're so busy with so many other things. I talked about all the activities with the cotillion and the rocketry and stuff like that that the boys are doing. They're also in judo and soccer, and we're going hiking and working with the horses, and students are in kitchen club and have the kitchen chores and animal chores and things like that. So that we keep them really busy, and that structure is important, especially for this age group, to be structured but active and busy. We want them to get lots of exercise and find things that interest them, and in doing so, we're hoping to inspire them. So maybe a boy really likes the animals, so, he might become interested in becoming a veterinarian, and then we can talk with them about how education is important towards that goal. And another one, after building the shed, might decide he wants to be a builder, and then we can help that student see how builders need academics as well. You've got to measure, you've got to calculate, you've got to do a lot of things that the students may not have seen how it's relevant to their life. And so helping them to find that school is relevant, that they can be successful in school, and as they start being successful in school, it starts to build up their self-esteem and they start to feel better. So that's why these things are all interconnected, and that's why I really love being able to have them in a residential program for a period of time so that we can kind of control those variables and make it the most therapeutic environment that we can. And that's what the milieu is about, to be able to pull groups together when you need to, and be able to go on these fun outings and things where boys are going to be able to build friendships while they're skiing or whitewater rafting, and the staff can build relationships with the students while they're doing those things as well. And it just really helps to create an environment that's healing.
And so as these boys are spending their time with you, obviously they have parents at home. And I know that you have boys with you from all over the United States. So how does the student's family fit into this process so that they are continuing to be connected with their son and get to watch the progress and be a part of the progress and be ready for them when they return home?
That's a great question and a really important part, because that's really where the success is. It's relatively easy to get a student looking good in a residential program, but the trick is to help them generalize the knowledge they're learning at Cherry Gulch back home. And so although we have families that are very skilled, and maybe they have three other kids and they're in Ivy League schools and doing really well, this particular boy has some special needs, some differences, some anger or depression or whatever it may be that's interfering with them, and they're a little bit more difficult. And not that they're not just as wonderful and have just as much potential or more, but it takes a different approach. So we try different approaches within the individualized treatment plan and find what's working for this particular student. And I don't accept students that I don't think can be successful and that I don't think can live independently and do well in their life, because, it's important to me to work with students that I believe in and that I believe that our program is going to be beneficial for. So the parents are an integral part of that. And what we do is, the underlying structure of the program is this positive parenting with a plan. And so we start to implement this, and there's rules at the school, and there's the healthy habit cards, and there's chores, and there's the family meetings, and of course there's the family therapy piece that we do. But so that's a piece that we feel is an important structure that's going to give the parents the consistency and the follow through and the rewards and consequences, and also help them be on the same page with mom and dad, even if they're from a divorced family, so that there's less of that splitting and manipulating that's going on. And it takes some of the passion out of parenting, where I don't need to yell and things, because this is just what the rules of the family are, and I'm following the rules too. And this is the consequence, and our consequences are not punitive types of things. But
Andy, we actually have a caller on the line, and Sam's going to, I'm sorry to interrupt, Sam's going to put that caller through. Hello?
Okay.
Oh, not yet. Okay, he's well, he's going to work on putting that caller through. So, you know, I know that families worry a lot when their kids are, you know, away from home and that they aren't seen and talking to them every day. But I will have to say from my experience of my young man who's been there, whose family lives, you know, quite a distance, it has been, you know, between the staff that's involved and the kids getting to talk to their parents and the therapist, that you really do make good connections with everybody each step of the way. And I have found that to be incredibly important.
Yeah, absolutely. And that family.
Oh, Andy, I'm sorry to interrupt. We do have a caller on the line now.
Okay.
Hi, this is Dory Francis. Welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Kevin. I'm an alumni student from Cherry Gulch.
Oh, Kevin, I am so glad that you called in. How would
Hello.
Tell us about your experience there at Cherry Gulch?
Well, I was at Cherry Gulch and for about a little less than 2 years, and before I left to go to Cherry Gulch, I had very bad temper. I had extreme anxiety. I was depressed. I was oppositional. I was disrespectful. I was basically a really bad child. If you think of it, I basically did it. It's just bad. And then I went to a wilderness program for 9 weeks, and then my parents sent me to Cherry Gulch. Cherry Gulch is by far the best thing that's ever happened to me. I don't know where I'd be without it.
Really?
I'm now successfully living at home. I've been at home since April. My parents and I get along really well now. We don't fight anymore. I mean, like, we have the normal, like little arguments about, like, oh, we should go to this place for dinner, or no, we should go to this place, you know? But it's nothing major anymore, and I honestly think that without Cherry Gulch, I'd probably be in a lot of trouble with the law, and Cherry Gulch helped me so much, and for that I'm really grateful.
So, Dr. Sapp, this is one of your students that I'm sure you remember, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kevin, for calling in. I really appreciate that. Kevin and I stay in touch periodically, and so I knew he was doing well, but it's so nice to hear his voice. And
it is.
Yeah, there's, you know, what a great young man with tons of potential, and I'm so excited to see what he does with his life.
Well, Kevin, I really thank you for calling in. There's nothing more assuring to parents who may be listening to hear from a student who was willing to do the hard work, and it sounds like you surely did that. You know, I hope you know that even though you were acting out, I don't consider any kids to be bad. I'm sure you were quite a challenge for your parents, but all kids are a challenge in some way. And it's so great to hear how you're doing now, and that your experience was one that you feel was beneficial for you, because that's the greatest thing that any parent can hear from their child who's, you know, been struggling. So thank you so much for calling in. It's great to hear from you.
Of course.
You take care, Kevin.
Thank you,
Kevin. All right, thank you too.
Well, that was great. It's great to hear from an alumni student, and Kevin sounds like he's doing fantastic now, and really did the hard work that was required of him to get him back on track and talking about having a better relationship with his family. And I know that for all parents who are, you know, struggling with their kids, that's just so important. So we have just about 6 minutes left in the show, and I just want to make sure that we can get through everything that we can get through. Again, I know I've talked a little bit about the young man that I have there. He's just made incredible progress. But let's talk about anything else, Dr. Sapp, that you feel is really important for parents who are listening to know about Cherry Gulch.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the family piece because that is really important. And I also just wanted to take my hat off to the parents that, like Kevin's parents, that they see that things aren't going well and they have the courage to do something about it, to take action. And residential is not the first step, and his family took the other steps, but it still didn't have the impact that they needed to have to help their family be a more harmonious, positive family. And so just that the action of doing what's necessary earlier rather than later, not just thinking that it's a phase and that it'll pass, but taking the steps to really help the student work through and help the family work through. And so that's why we do offer quite a bit of visitation and home visits and phone calls, and there's students typically have touch points with their families verbally about 3 times a week, and then they can write as many letters and things as they want. And there's they earn it, but there's multiple different trips and visits and things that they can take with their parents, and so a lot of connection that way. And then wrapping up with this emotional growth curriculum piece, they're learning to have better habits, and these are things that are going to be beneficial for anybody, really. And as they're going through that step by step, we're breaking it down into a lot of little pieces so that the students are able to get some success and their parents have the opportunity to give the student positive reinforcement and praise, and the student starts feeling good because now for the first time in their life they're feeling successful at school and with friends and things, and then they're more motivated to do the right thing. And
absolutely.
I
want to make sure, Dr. Sapp, not to interrupt, I just want to make sure before we run out of time, because we've just got about 3 minutes left, that we make sure people know how to get to your website, how to call for more information, where you're located there in Idaho. That's important for them to have that information today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That is important. My email is drsapp@cherry-like-a-fruit-and-gulch-like-a-small-valley.org, drsapp@cherrygulch.org, or you could also just email info@cherrygulch.org. And as you've probably ascertained, our website is cherrygulch.org. And then we also are on Facebook and Twitter, and the number to the school is 208-365-3437, extension 502, and my cell phone number is 208-941-7934.
Great. Well, we've got about 2 minutes to wrap up, so what is it that you would like to leave our listeners with today?
I'd like to leave them with hope. There's, like you said, so well, Dory, there are no bad kids. Sometimes they have bad behaviors, and sometimes those behaviors are an ineffective way of coping with what they've had to struggle with in life. And these students are not lost causes. They can be wonderful contributing members of our society, and they're just such great kids, and as you can hear from Kevin, who now has a deeper voice than I do, he's matured in a lot of ways. but it's so wonderful just to know that things can improve, and these conditions are treatable and manageable, and it doesn't mean that they're not going to be able to be successful or live independently or have families and things like that. And so just for all the parents out there, have hope that things can improve and take steps to change in a positive way to help that occur.
Thank you, Dr. Sapp. As always, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. And as always, we've run out of time. I just know that there's always so much more to talk about in regards to these young men that you're helping there at Cherry Gulch School. And I'll look forward to having you back again. For more information in regarding to working with an educational consultant, you can visit horizonfamilysolutions.com. Don't forget that you can archive and listen to these shows on LA Talk Radio or on iTunes. And our saying for the week that comes from Mary, who's just moved from Wilderness into residential boarding school. She says, any plan that cannot be changed is a bad one. And that's something that she's learned. And thank you, Mary. I always appreciate hearing from my students and getting their little inputs for the show for the week. Again, Dr. Sapp, thank you for being here. I look forward to having you back again. Everyone, I will listen to you calling in again next week. And I will see you on Monday. Take care. Have a great week.
You're listening to Family Solutions Today with Dori Francis, right here on LA Talk Radio.